Welcome to an inspirational message by Pastor Harold Weiss, Senior Pastor at Little Falls Christian Center.
I only ask that you bless the people, Lord. These people tithe to you. And with that, we set ourselves aright. That, Lord, there is financial security for us. And when we do that, we ensure our spiritual insurance, our spiritual security, our financial security, and everything else goes with it. Because it is an expression of our faith. And Lord, I have said and I have vowed that I will never skip a month in my life as long as I live without tithing to you. We've done so all these years. And from that moment when we've done that, Lord, everything changed for us. We thank you, Father, for the faith of every man, woman, and child that, Lord, comes to you and presents themselves in this manner before you. And therefore, let the blessing of the Lord be poured out on your people. Let them have breakthroughs upon breakthroughs. Let, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as we present tithes, but also offerings, let these tithes and offerings be something that is dear and precious to you, because it reminds you of your sacrifice when you gave yourself to us. Now, how could we ever repay the Lord for the things he has done for us? Things so undeserved, yet you proved your love to us. Thank you, Jesus. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Once again, you must be smiling this morning because of the fact that we're at the end of the Daniel fast. And think, now you may start thinking in that direction, but still the stakes are away until after the service tonight. And then you can go and have a nice meal, whatever, after that, and enjoy the year. We've got the starting blocks right, and I want to go straight into the Word, and I just have a scripture here that I'll read from, and then I'll get some more scriptures, and it's this one here that says, everyone is dull-hearted. It's Jeremiah 51, Jeremiah 51, and just a second there, Jeremiah 51, sorry, Jeremiah 51, 17. Says, everyone is dull-hearted without knowledge. Every metalsmith is put to shame by the carved image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. Hear the word of the Lord, Hosea 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. For that matter, every single land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land. No truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. I want to go with you right now to the book of 2 Kings 22, 2 Kings 22. And here we have a godly king. I'm going to read a little bit here, and we're going to talk about this, and we'll see what he did. 2 Kings 22, and it says here, now King Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, 8 years. But he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Yedidah, and he's the daughter of Adiah and Boshkath. And he did what was right. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And he walked in all the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left hand. Didn't go away. Like King David, this is a very godly king. Hilkiah. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent to Shaphan the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Methusalem, to the house of the Lord, saying these words, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord. The money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people, and let them deliver it into the hands of those doing the work, those who are overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house. To carpenters, to builders, masons, to buy timber, hewn stone, to repair. Good man does reparations to the work and the house of the Lord. However, there need not be any accounting made with them, for the money delivered into their hand is safe, because these are people who dealt faithfully in the financial realm. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe. Scribe is somebody who writes scripture and studies scripture and knows scripture. I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. I found the Torah. I found the book of the law, which is the Torah. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan the scribe went to the king, bringing the king word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hands of those who do the work, who oversee the house of the Lord. Then Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest has given me a book. And Shaphan read the Torah, which is in this case, because it refers to the Torah, which is the five books of Moses specifically here. And he read it before the king. Notice how the word strikes home in good ground. Now it happened. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, the Torah, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, Achbor, the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, go and inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and for Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book according to all that is written concerning us. Stop there for a moment. Here is a king that is just blown away by what he reads in the Word of God. And you know, they didn't have the full Bible as we have. But it did remind me of something here in the Tree of Life version. I'm just reading it from this translation. Teshuvah. In Acts 2:37, the Apostle Peter is preaching, and when he's finished his sermon on the day of Pentecost, where the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Hearing the word struck them in their hearts. And they said to Peter and the rest of the emissaries, fellow brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, and let each one of you be immersed in the name, baptized in the name of Messiah Yeshua. This is a Jewish translation. For the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and all those who are far away, as many as Adonai, the Lord, our God, calls unto him. They were cut to the heart. A king is struck, bang, like an atom bomb goes off in his heart. The land is in a state. In the book of Joel, chapter number 1, we read what happens when the land gets dried out because of the knowledge of the Lord. There is no knowledge. The beginning, wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times. But if there is no knowledge, hallelujah, as long as they reach, those guys with a motorbike, reach heaven instead of reaching the speed limit and go beyond it. Stupid is forever. There is no knowledge of the Lord in the land. The people are dull-hearted. The scripture said there's no breath in them. The scripture says everyone is dull-hearted. There's no knowledge of the Lord in the land. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. Knowledge and understanding is the stability of your time. Now this king springs into action. He realizes what is going on in the land. There is no rain falling. The heavens have turned into brass. We read about the fact that judgment was there. The locusts, Joel chapter 1 gives you a beautiful depiction. The olives are dropping on the ground. They're spotted. They're unusable. They cannot be used anywhere, not in the temple anywhere, because they spotted. It was a curse that God spoke about in the book of Deuteronomy 28 from the 14th verse right up to the end of the chapter extensively. There are 14 verses of blessing, but from verse 15, the rest of the chapter and a huge portion is called the curse of disobedience to the law of God. And that had struck in the book of Joel. You read locusts going around, and whatever the big ones didn't take, the smaller ones took, and whatever they didn't took, the rest took. And finally, there was a drought in the land, and the heavens had turned to brass. There is a curse that came upon the land because the people did not have the knowledge of the Lord. They did not know God. And even if they had knowledge, they perverted that knowledge to suit their own private interpretations. Help me, Jesus. Second Kings 23, verse 3. Now this king begins to rip everything apart that's wrong. He sends to the prophet Huldah, the prophetess is staying in the old city of Jerusalem, in the Jewish quarter. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord, a covenant, to follow the Lord, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul to perform. You see, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Lord is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To perform the words of this covenant, which were written in the book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. A stand for the covenant. We've just taken the covenant cup. And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest. The priest stood of the second order, the priests of the second order, and the doorkeepers to bring out of the temple the Lord, the temple of the Lord, all the articles that were made from Baal. That begins with the cleansing process. Bring out of the temple of the Lord all the articles that were made for Baal and Asherah, and for all the host of heaven. And he burnt them outside Jerusalem in the fields of Kitron, where it turns into Gehenna, the valley of hell at the bottom where the fire is burned, where Judas Iscariot met his fate. And he carried their ashes as far as Bethel. And he removed the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense on the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places all around Jerusalem. And those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun, to the moon, to the constellations, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the wooden image from the house of the Lord to the brook Kidron outside Jerusalem, burnt the thing at the brook Kidron, ground it to ashes, and he threw its ashes on the graves of the common people. And he tore down the ritual booths of the Sodomites, the perverted persons. It says in the dictionary right here, it says the Sodomites. And they could be either male or female. That were in the house of the Lord. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? The Tavash Shavech Tamai. He tore down the ritual booths of the perverted persons that were in the house of the Lord, where women wove things and hangings for the wooden image. Huh. And so it goes on. This king is cleansing the land like no other. He's like his father David. The word of God struck him here. Most people, the word of God goes as far as here. And then when they hear something here that they don't agree with in their worldly wisdom, they put it on the shelf and they do that instead of doing the straight and narrow. They find Shevachai Lefet Hashor, Lefet Elor, Shelefechat Moshev. The parable of the sower tells you about good ground. I'd ask you this question this morning, what ground are you? God says there's no fear, there's no knowledge of the Lord in the land. My people perish. They literally go to the spiritual junk heap, as Dr. Kenneth Hagin called it, because they have no knowledge of the Lord. Other things in this world that is passing away are more important to a dying generation that is struck with a curse. It's why they race on those motorbikes. It's why the heavens turn to brass and there's no rain. It's why the land is filled with bloodshed and all kinds of unspeakable immoralities, perversions, theft, looting, aggression, violence. Baruch atah Elohim, Adonai Elohim Tzevaot. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, Lord of hosts. Adonai Tzevaot, Lord of hosts. One man turns a nation upside down. We are called the people of the book. We have the book. We honor the Lord in what we say. The impact of this word is, look at me now. The impact of this word to you has no effect unless you do that with it. And you do that with it. And you start doing what it says. When you change your life. And not, the Bible says, some are having twisted the word of God to their own destruction. Dear Lord Jesus. I remember way back when. Towards the end of 1980. I remember in that year that I was invited by somebody to go to a church. Somebody to work with me. Now I went to the church, Achies, AFM church, in about States, right there, the Johannesburg University area. And all the lecturers of the Bible school, the college there, the theological college of the AFM church was there. And I didn't know, we just invited to the right place at the right time. And a man preached. Pastor Nika Buerta was his name. And he preached on changing the water into wine. Just that. Just that. And I couldn't fully understand what the message was all about. Maud was very clever. She said, you go to church, I'll stay and look after the kids. So I go to church and Nico Buerta is preaching. And he has a message. I'm still trying to figure out what he was actually saying. But I found myself, I was brought up not to cry ever. Not good for a man to do that sort of thing. It just breaks down your reputation, all of that sort of stuff. But if you don't humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, his word has no entrance. Now watch out with this day zero thing. Zero, transliterated into Hebrew, means literally, it means kaf, resh, that means you're hooked and the axe of judgment is coming down. That's what day zero means in Hebrew. I walked in the church there and I thought, Lord Jesus, what are these people doing? Because I grew up as a Christian, all of that. But this is causing me to cry. I mean, the man talks about changing the water into wine. Never understood it to now. Now I understand it a little bit. The story of Jesus arriving in Cana. They did an altar call. I went up. I went uncontrolled. I was so embarrassed because I wept. I held my hands like that. And the pastors came to me at that altar call. And I was surrounded by these men that were well known in those days. And they laid hands on me and they said, here's a big fish. And they said, let's pray for him. And they formed a circle around him, pray for him. I never changed. From that moment in time, that commitment to God was rock solid. Never be the same ever, ever, ever again. For years I'd wondered, what is this? This man from Galilee. That he's just listening, just listening. Oh, my eyes are not good. Just listen. Get the Bible tape. Just listen. Oh, there's the Bible school. Well, you know what? I'm going to look 50-50 and 60-60. And there's my favorite program on National Geographic. And what about the new Spider-Man movie that's out? I might just miss that. I've got to do all the catch-up movies and all that stuff that cannot save, that will pass away, and all of those things that have no building power in your life. And you say, well, you know what? I don't think I can this, that. And those excuses that are made up by the soul, those soulish wisdom excuses, they just don't cut it, because it is the difference between living the life abundantly or the life not abundantly. It is the difference between righteousness, integrity, truth in the fear of the Lord. You see, Jesus walked there from Nazareth downhill to the Sea of Galilee. His mother's already at that place. Little insignificant village, Cana in Hebrew. Which means the one who walks behind, from in Hebrew, it means the one who walks behind is humble, okay? Who's in the activity of trading. Traders lived there on a trading route. It's what the word Cana means in Hebrew. Just like that, just taking the Hebrew letters and just spelling it out. Till there's a wedding. And they were obviously poor. And things obviously don't quite work out when you don't walk with God. If you walk with God and you obey His word and you know His word, you know every answer to every problem that you've ever had, especially after a Daniel fast. You see, he arrives at the wedding and they run out of wine. Now, can you imagine a wedding? Running out of wine. They couldn't have been rich. Now in walks the word that has become flesh. And his mother says, whatsoever He says, just do it. And there stood there six jars filled with water. Ephesians 5, he has a bride. He's at a wedding, but he sees the bride of Christ of the future. Has a wedding. He knows about the wedding supper of the Lamb before the time. Has a bride. There's a wedding. He sees all this. He cannot help but respond. The washing of water. The Bible in Ephesians 5 says, he cleansed his bride by the washing of water of the word. The washing of regeneration, the Bible also calls it. You're already clean because of the words that I've spoken to you. You are already clean and cleansed because of my word. Knowledge of the Lord's understanding. And the word says to them, fill those jars with water. Because one day, blood and water will come from my side. And when they took it out, he had turned the water into the blood of the covenant, the wine. They took that. Jesus said to Mary, he said, woman, don't you know that my time has not yet come? She says, just do what he says. I say to you today, just do what's in here. You want to be built up this year? You need knowledge. You need plenty knowledge. During the Daniel fast, the first 10 days, I said to Maud, first few days, because you cut off everything. There's no sugar coming into me. It's just vegetable, basically. I didn't even have fruit, really. And so, just vegetables and about 90% water, a little bit of tea and a little bit of coffee. And that otherwise, just water, but the tea and coffee was without milk. I'd pray in the morning, then I'd have a bit of coffee to wake me up a little bit faster. At the end of 21 days, it's great, but in that first week, I felt like my energy is going now because I'm not getting the other stuff I used to get. And the proteins are all gone now, and okay, fine. But then about somewhere there in that first 10 days, I'm not exactly sure, I didn't even look at the date. One day I'm praying in the study. Now, I'm a researcher. I love to research. And I got so many things that have meaning, but they're not connected up. And I have a moment. I have a moment. It's Daniel fast. Daniel fast 10 days, and it happened. I have a moment, and I have a visitation from God. My mind opens up, and all of these different disciplines of knowledge come together like that, and they just interlock. They just become one, and I get the picture. You know my first response? When I saw that, I said, Lord, now I know this, that, the other, all are related. This is why I'm trying to teach the students on a Wednesday. They need to understand lots of things must be integrated to get the big picture. And I said, Lord, here's my words to him, just like this, in the study. Here's my word, just like this. Lord, now I know that I know little. Please make this little a little more. Increase my little. And I was off and ready to preach and ready to teach. I was getting ready for the Bible school, you know. I said, Lord, just make that a little bit more. The word walks in there and he says, I'm going to turn this. Take a look. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. You're already cleansed by the words I've spoken to you. By those tables they had bread. There was bread, there was the cup, everything was there. The man of the covenant, the Son of God, had entered their midst. Later on, he would shed his blood. And he said, verily I say to you, I will not partake of this blood, this cup, until I am gathered in the kingdom of God. My people perish through a lack of knowledge. Therefore, the land has been smitten with various curses because they know not God. Lord, I pray for South Africa. Have mercy, Lord. Please have mercy. One of the women stood on the television. She says, they can pray all they want. Oh, yes. Depends on who you pray to. When you pray in the name of Jesus, and they need to know that, the rain will come. You better believe it. Put me on top of Table Mountain. I won't go off there until there's a flood. Father, I thank you today. The curse of drought over the western and the southeastern Cape, the entire Cape, the whole winter rainfall season, the west coast, I break that curse today in Jesus' name and bind the forces opposing the flow of natural air to the Cape province. Let it rain, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Stand to your feet, give the Lord a praise offering, everybody, right now. Come on, give God praise, everybody, right now. Shout hallelujah. Woo! I tell you, I am so loaded. I can't wait for tonight. And I know you're also in for it. How many of you want your blessing? The mind of Christ became a huge reality in my life because of this particular Daniel fast. I had my moment. I know it now. I've always spoken about the mind of Christ. Dear Jesus, will you help everybody? Because that is massive. It's incomparable. Father, I bless your people in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. And the Lord grant you favor and peace. Make his countenance, his face shine upon you. In Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.